This is the sixth lecture of the HPAHCA series, and I want to talk now about level six. And level six is a very interesting process which is entirely an exteriorized process. Now, there may be better and easier processes of exteriorization, and there may not be, but the point is that level six simply groups these processes. Now, from time to time, we have had changes in exteriorization drills, but the current drill is almost a year and a half old, and it is still level six. It's still there in its entirety in level six of six levels of processing issue five. So it must mean it has something to offer. Must mean this. Now, there are a great many things about exteriorization that you should know, and most of them concern themselves with the parts of man. The parts of man are quite interesting. If you have very good reality on these, that's fine, and this will be very successful. But if you don't have any reality on them at all, you'll probably mess up some preclears. So no subject is quite as difficult to grasp as the subject of exteriorization. And the reason for this difficulty is contained in R240 of Creation of Human Ability, wherein we find that the person is supposed to... Now, just let me look at this for a moment. He's supposed to conceive a static, and it's stated very clearly in R240 that an individual is at no time supposed to have this process run on him. And what on earth are we doing in training if R240 is asking somebody to conceive a static and it's not a recommended process? Then what are we doing teaching you anything at all about exteriorization? Or what are we doing teaching you anything about the parts of man? Because the subject of exteriorization is liable to make you sick. You ask somebody to conceive a static. You just say, all right, now that's good. Now, you know what the definition of static is? Go ahead, now conceive a static. All right, that's fine. Did you do that? And he says, yes. And you say, all right, fine, conceive a static. And did you do that? Yeah. All right, conceive a static. If he's in bad shape, you don't have much preclear left. You're asking him, a person in full belief that he is messed, that he's a mass, that he thinks with a brain, that he runs on machinery, so forth. You're asking him to look at nothingness. And the communication formula tells you that communication requires duplication. So you're asking him, as he looks at nothingness, to be himself nothingness. And he does not like this. Remember, this individual cannot create. That would be the first thing that you would say about him. And therefore, he has to conserve what mass he has. And conserving what mass he has, he therefore doesn't want it as is. Just thinking about a static is liable to as is some mass. An individual who cannot as is mass and replace it, recreate it, and so on, gets a very, very poor idea of the whole thing. And so the world at large is liable to make certain cracks at you on the subject of exteriorization. And you would be doing an interesting thing if you tried to tell people about exteriorization. Just as we are doing an interesting thing trying to train people who are not exteriorized, when they are not exteriorized, about exteriorization. So the best thing to find out about exteriorization is to exteriorize. That's the easiest way to find this out. See, that's the easiest way to research the whole subject is simply to exteriorize. But what do you know? The best way to find out any part of Scientology is to experience it. Now, some chap was telling us not so long ago that a Scientologist learns all of his information and has it all on a second-hand basis. I tell you about Scientology out of researches I've conducted over a long period of time, and then this chap said the person being trained simply collects it as a second-hand ridge. All right, that's fine, but If he has it as a second hand, Rich, it's not going to work. You must recognize this point in the study of Scientology, that I did not invent it. You run the most casual session you want to run on a fellow in fair condition, and he will start coming up with the axioms. That's not where I got them. That isn't the way I got them. But nevertheless, he will start doing this. Why does he start doing this? It's because these are the basic agreements on which life is constructed in all of its systems and machineries and masses and time and so forth. You see this? All right, now we have this situation. I'm telling you about these things, and I'm saying go and look. Think them over. Find if there is any reality or use to this material. If there is reality and use to it, very well. Have the reality. Use it. Since it's yours, and I'm only telling you about something you've probably forgotten. To teach anybody Scientology without that power of choice would become impossible, and you would bring about a ridge where all its knowledge would be secondhand. But it would be, I'm afraid, impossible to keep it in a secondhand condition. As an individual in possession of some of this information walks through life, he discovers that it applies to life. If an individual is not a living being, if he's an automaton of some sort, he can, of course, carry this around on a second-hand basis and do something with it. But if he is alive and capable of facing the various parts of life, he therefore gets what we call objective reality on the material. And having obtained this objective reality on the material, it becomes useful to him. I'm telling you about you in Scientology. If we called it the science of life, we would probably have a better description of it. It permeates and pervades all parts of life because life and its forms and its systems and its universes is made by life. Life is not an accident that happened after the fact of the universe. But none of the material which I give you is something that you should take as a pill to be swallowed. It's an oddity that learning the axioms all by itself is a considerable process, which is probably the only reason we ask you to do it. They disappear, they come back into being, they vanish. You learn this axiom, and then you get it all backwards, and then it disappears entirely again. But after you've studied these things, it is easier for you to do some living. Why? Because they must be with you all the time, right where you are, in any given instant. And you unbury them and put them into an area of control, of cognition, of knowingness, and out of a land of not knowingness. And having done this, you have a little more conquered territory than before. But the conquered territory is not having memorized the axioms. The conquered territory is having mastered some of yourself. Therefore, asking somebody to take this idea of a static entirely not on faith, that's the most overused word in the English language, but to take it on say-so is not possible. Because if he's unable to recognize the truth and fact of one of these parts of man, the most important part, the living part, Satan, would discover that he could not accept it if he himself were not very alive. An individual who would have trouble conceiving a static, would get into trouble conceiving a static, is himself having difficulty living. So really, the easier, kinder course would be to processing. Nevertheless, to bar a person from training simply because we believe his case leaves a little bit wanting is unworkable. He is not there by force. Nobody has made him come by duress. He is there by choice. If some of the material he has to study makes him sick, He ordinarily can take it in good pace. But the world at large, I'm afraid, is not going to understand very clearly the subject of exteriorization. Furthermore, the preclears you process are not going to understand it very easily until they experience it. And thus, today, we do not exteriorize preclears as such. We let them exteriorize. I get the subtle difference. We let them exteriorize. Do you know that the bulk of your preclears will exteriorize in the first level? The most of them will. Preclears, you simply walk up here or there. You're not specializing in processing people of any particularly arduous physical condition. You start spotting energy sources and objects and people and get them to not know various things about people, and they're liable to be outside looking over the situation. When they so exteriorize, we then acknowledge it. We never let a preclear's origin of communication go unanswered, unexamined, and undiscussed. We never let it go. But we then go on with the process. We got the idea? We amply acknowledge it, and we go on with the process we were running in. For a long time, we did not know that this was the best, on the average, thing to do. So we ask people to be 3 feet back of their head. We do not ask people to be 3 feet back of their head today. We could. It is still workable. We can take a little child and ask him to be 3 feet back of his head and put him through a Route 1 drill. The bulk of children or young people that you meet up to the age of 13 or 14 probably instantly would be. You put them through the drill, they feel much better. Everything is fine. So it's not unworkable. It's just that we aren't doing it. The vogue at the moment is not to do it. We find it is easier to handle if we simply ask them to do things and acknowledge the fact that they are now out of their heads and go on and complete the 6 levels of processing with the individual in his head or out of his head or anywhere he cares to be until we get to Route 1's step, which is level 6, and we say, "Now, you, what are you looking at?" He's maybe been for the last 3 steps disassociated from his body. Maybe he was yo-yoing like mad. He was in his head and out, and he spends the night worrying. He comes back and he gives you this great philosophical observation. He says, "Do you know that I am not a body? I hate to have to tell you this because it might surprise you. I have just discovered something, you know," and he's liable not to tell you at all because he's afraid that you'd be shocked by it. To give you an idea of what exteriorization means in the society today, and believe me, it is not unknown, it means one of 2 things. To religion, it means that an individual has probably lost his soul somehow or another. But he is not really in the groove. The way he's supposed to be in the groove is to be in a head so that when he dies, he can go to heaven or hell at the priest's choice. And if the church does not have the ability to send him to heaven or hell, then it doesn't have much of a collection box. So to have somebody singing around, being perfectly cheerful, and away from a body is not looked on very kindly. And although a priest will tell you something about exteriorization, most of it will be bad. The other group in the society that talks a little bit about exteriorization is the psychiatrist. Psychiatry knows about exteriorization. They know about it. They know it as a psychotic manifestation which most often occurs just before somebody has to be electric shocked. They know that people are not in their heads. They are themselves insufficiently articulate to express this, to sum it up, to do anything with it at all. They consider it a psycho-manifestation. That's as close as they ever came to it. The amount of analysis they have done about it is 0. The use they have made of it, of course, the same use they have made of everything else that came their way, which was to harm and hurt. I don't mean this to condemn psychiatry. I never condemn psychiatry. I just think it should be wiped out to the last man. That's the only thing I feel about psychiatry. Because when their death rate got up to 1 person for 1 psychiatrist, they'd already lived too long. You see, they'd already paid their toll, and they were on their way. Psychiatry needs no push from us. publicly we should be very kind to the gentlemen. They are on their way out. There will someday be a great witch burning, not because we start it, but because the public itself will start it. They kill too many men. You maybe do not know that electric shock brings on and increases the incidence of multiple sclerosis in people 700%. It isn't a treatment, and never was, and nobody ever supposed that it was. Prefrontal lobotomies were never a treatment. The mortality rate is fantastic. Those that it does, quote, help, unquote, are simply not violent anymore. They know better than to move. The society itself is going to take care of this someday, and I just mention it here in this place to HCAs and HPAs so that you yourself will never make the fantastic blunder of telling anybody you're a psychiatrist. Don't commit suicide. Someday there will be a witch burning. It's already begun. They knew about exteriorization, and they knew that it was a psychotic manifestation. So you go talking out in the society about exteriorization and trying to explain to people what it is, and you're going to find yourself in trouble right away. But just shut up about it. Don't bother to talk about it. Don't necessarily repress it, but just know that it's an unacceptable subject. It's not acceptable. Talk about good roads, good weather, ability, health, increase of knowledge, increase of ability. Talk about these things. You understand? And if anybody talks to you about the religious convictions, you should probably tell them mysteriously, Scientology is probably the only organization on the face of Earth which has true, deep religious convictions. And just drop it. Thud. Somebody comes in, he says, what's this business about being 3 feet back of your head? So forth. And you say, do you study yogi or something? What are you talking about? Well, if I was out here, he's got some study called exteriorization. What is it? You say, all right, well, you ask the question. What is it? Well, don't you have something to do with it in Scientology? You say, why don't you go ask psychiatrists about this sort of thing? Why don't you ask somebody in some other field about this? What are you asking us for? But I understand that you do it. You do this sort of thing. You do put people 3 feet back of their heads. Well, I don't know. Well, does that seem possible to you that anybody can be 3 feet back of his head? Well, why don't you be 3 feet back of your head? The fellow says, well, I can't do anything like that. That's silly, you know. He's probably dead in his head to be raising this much of a fuss. He's been asked to conceive a static, and it's made him sick. If you want to dispose of him, just go on and make him conceive a static. Say, there is such a thing as exteriorization. Man is actually a small energy production unit which can be in space. Now, do you get the idea? He'd say, whoop. Don't be vicious. Just good roads and good weather. You say, oh, you. Somebody crowds you very, very closely. Crowd him. Look at him fiercely, piercingly, and say, I am always prepared to find an irreligious person, but I seldom meet one who has no faith at all in the human soul or God. They back up. They back up promptly. Explain it to them if you want to make them sick. Tell the world about it. Write long articles on it if you want to. That's at your own choice. Do anything you want to about it. But the wise way to handle it is let the preacher exteriorize on the processes when he exteriorizes. Acknowledge the fact. Tell him there's nothing unusual about this. Tell him that's fine. And go on through the remainder of the steps. And when you reach step six, run him on the root one drill. See that? That's the wise way to handle it. We've been a long time getting this much experience, you see. There's been quite a lot of experience handling thetans, which are impeded by bodies. It's quite a different subject than handling thetans. I can handle thetans any day of the week, but handling thetans that are all messed up by bodies is sometimes difficult. A thetan's present time problem is his body. But, of course, his body is that thing which permits him to get paid. He can get paid. Communication. So he's in an awful quandary. How does he get paid? How does he be free? Well, other societies have solved this by inventing dolls. It's pretty hard to get stuck in the head of a doll. Mechanical robots and so forth, and the Thetan simply occupies and runs them. This sounds very far-fetched and is a subject in parascientology. But a body has the liability of being very as-isable. You think too many thoughts in the vicinity of a body and its ear starts to get missing, you know. At least it'll feel like it's missing. You listen too long and talk too much and your face is liable to disappear on you, according to your subjective sensation, at least. And I suppose if you did talk long enough, your face would disappear on you. If you went into good communication, sitting right square in back of your face, talking with the body, talking through the face to other people, I suppose you would eventually have a hole there. But life can as is almost anything. Almost anything. Any trouble that comes up or anything of the sort will as is in the vicinity of and neighborhood of life. Well, that's as it should be. But this business of exteriorization is something which you should be very chary of discussing with the preclear, unless the preclear has exteriorized. And then if you then tell him where and what and which in all of this lies and give him an education on the subject all the way up the line, you're evaluating for him and you will impede his case progress. There's many a fellow who is dead in his head who accepts the datum, exteriorization, who has learned it and who is trying to experience it, and because he's trying so hard, he doesn't. We stick him in his head, so to speak. There are ways we can get him out of this. One of the ways of getting him out of this is just to ask him to assign some intentions to things. Back in level one, why do we ask him to assign intentions to things? Well, that's so he'll have some other goal besides getting out of his head. The way we solve a scarcity of goals is ask somebody to assign intentions. We give him something else to think about. If it was really very bad, we would ask him, what is exteriorization? And get him to define it. We'd ask him this many times, what is exteriorization? All right, what is it? Okay, what is it? He eventually tells you lots of things. We'd ask him if he were too well educated on the subject and too expectant and couldn't do it. We'd ask him what he could not know about exteriorization. Tell me something you wouldn't mind not knowing about exteriorization. And then we would pull it off. You see, we can today even work this fellow who is super educated on the subject of exteriorization and he yet cannot get out of his head. He is caught between these two facts. One, he would like to be free. Two, he needs a body so he can collect his pay. He's caught between those two facts. He cannot create, and if he cannot create, then he needs all the mass he can get. So he safeguards that mass. He safeguards it thoroughly. He stays in the middle of it. Of course, every time he thinks a thought in the middle of the mass, he has this is some more of his mass. He's in a dreadful mess. There's no doubt about it. He is puzzled, confused, and so forth. These steps will all allay this confusion and smooth it away. But we don't envy a person who has gotten to a point where he's dead in his head. Because he cannot create. He will as is everything there. He'll try to add on all the mass he can grab onto. He's rather a frantic fellow, by the way. Nor really do we envy the poor chap who is doing an inversion. Don't take this that every time you see somebody exteriorized, he is on an inversion. But there is such a thing as a fellow doing a bunk, perpetually and continually. This individual can't and won't get near his body. He's way out someplace else. We look at him and we say, here's a chap who can't exteriorize. No, that is not what is the trouble with him. He can't interiorize. See, he's on a reversal. He has gone out and cannot get in. Now, this person has complained often enough that psychiatry finally picked up the data, and that's where they learned about exteriorization. He couldn't get in. He was locked out of the house. You can put him back in very easily. But why put him back in? Just run these processes and the pressure will come off, and he'll all of a sudden go in and go out. He doesn't have to come in to go out. He merely has to change his mind where he is. All sorts of oddities, all sorts of data could be learned on this subject, but just take my word for it, if you run the processes right, sooner or later the fellow will exteriorize. Sometimes later, sometimes sooner. When he does, let him tell you all about it. Be very interested, and so forth, and go on running the process then when you finally got it all squared away so that he knows that you've acknowledged him, so he knows you understand, he knows you're interested. Go on running the process which you were running before. You say, that's fine, that's the way it ought to be, that's good, nothing wrong with that. Reassure him to this degree, and you've got it. Now, where we have obsessive exteriorization, we get into trouble, especially if we say to somebody, be 3 feet back of your head. We didn't say 3 light years, but there he goes. Body drops like it's dead, and that's that. One chap had a pre-clear do this. He said, be 3 feet back of your head, and the fellow started to pass Arcturus. The body dropped over. Flop. And that was that. Auditor was quite startled, talked to him for half an hour trying to get him back. And think of your wife, think of your job, think of your family, something like this. And then finally, what did get him back was think of your poor auditor. And the fellow came back. Came back and picked up the mock-up. A person who is dead can be whistled back into their body. You know, his heart's just stopped ticking. And you say, what's the idea, shoving up? Pick that mock-up up. He's like, no, all right. Man is not a body. That's the main thing you have to know about exteriorization. It's odd that this is the main thing you have to know. Because the fellow who would do a bunk, the fellow who will be dead in his head, the fellow who has never been in his head, alike resolve if you simply run the first 5 levels of 6 levels of processes. See? We just saw them all. And let it go at that. Don't worry. So somebody has an exteriorize. So what? We cease to be worried about this the moment when we realize that a person always exteriorizes on death. I've proven this. I've made some pre-clears wish they were dead. Pre-clears who couldn't get out of their heads, you know? So I've just fed them enough horrible brew of one kind or another, and made them sufficiently ill. I mean, just that. Of course, with their consent, I said, well, I can put you out of your head if you let me do anything we have to do to get you out of your head. And the fellow said, all right. And I just fed him enough horrible brew and made him sick enough, and they felt ghastly enough, so they finally just gave it up. They moved on out. One fellow went out and sat on a monument for about a half a day. Came back finally, and his body recovered somewhat, and he said, well, I can exteriorize, but it takes that. Who wants to? So evidently, as far as we can learn, people do not get stuck in their bodies so that they do not depart at the moment of death. The Thetan is always there, regardless of what he's saying, by choice. He's there by choice. He's exercising his choice. Sometimes he feels he can't control a body. If he feels he can't control a body while he's outside of it, he won't get out of it. And you run something. I can tell you, by the way, about 5,000 ways that you could pry somebody out of his head. This is the easier thing to do. Keeping them out and stabilizing them out there, that's a little more difficult. We take a perfectly uneducated Thetan who can't handle himself at all, who's been banging around between lives areas and doing all sorts of other parascientological things. And we can pry him out, but after we've got him out, what have we got? We've got somebody who is trying to be in the university when he isn't ready for kindergarten. So he flops back in. We get him out, and he flops back in. That's the history of it. If we haven't done a good job of it, why, he comes back in. So why did we do a job of it at all? The thing about it is, he exteriorizes, and he will stay out stably, and he will do well if you have prepared the road adequately. And the road preparation is simply the first 5 levels of SLP, issue 5. All right. It's an easy job today. This is an easy one. You don't have to sweat and strain over this. As a matter of fact, the more lightly he thinks, the easier he goes out. Little maxim there. It's ability to think the lightest thought that does it. You know, you could probably turn Earth on its axis if you could think a light enough thought at its poles. Now, he's putting an effort into it and so forth, and he's trying to pry himself out of his head. No, that's right. Well, if you don't acknowledge the origination of communication concerning his exteriorization, you're liable to pin him in the head for a good long time. He's not liable to try it again. But don't buy this idea ever from somebody who says that you must come and process his wife who is dying so that she can get out of her head when she dies. She'll get out of her head. She'll leave. She might not leave with any cognizance of who she's leaving, because some thetans shove off and they feel so sad about it that they couldn't care less about anybody they've left behind. That's why they don't come around again and rattle on the glasses. They say, well, there's no more communication possible. Nobody's paying any attention to me. Well, the devil with them, too. I'll go down the maternity ward and pick up another mock-up. That's that. Don't know what they'll do after the nuclear physicist and the great minds of state set off the A-bombs, but I suppose we can always find another planet, I suppose. Maybe there aren't any more. Maybe this is the last planet that hasn't been H-bombed. Well, that doesn't matter. When it comes to the various parts of man, the first part is the energy space time production unit. This is the livingness, the beingness, the personality, the guy. This is the person. This is a thetan. It is not any mass at all. Not even characteristics are added to the person by mass. Not even memory is added to the person by mass. The next part of the body is what we call the analytical mind, which is any thinking or rationalizing machine set up by the thetan of which he is aware. See? And the next we'd call the reactive mind. And the reactive mind is a stimulus response mechanism that appertains to the body. See, thetan machinery, then, is the analytical mind. See? So we have the reactive mind. That's a body thing. And that's every time the body's power of choice has been overcome, it had a new chapter added to its reactive mind. The totality of the reactive mind is the totality of times when the choice of the individual has been overcome. There are pictures of these things, and so we have the reactive mind. All right, another mind is the somatic mind, and it's what keeps the body ticking over. The reactive mind can be deleted lock, stock, and barrel from the individual or the body without the slightest loss, except in mass. The somatic mind can't be. It's what keeps him breathing, his heart ticking, and so forth. And it can exist entirely without the reactive mind. This is the final answer to anybody who believes that all of his talent and skill depends entirely upon his aberrations. This is not true. You can delete in its entirety the reactive mind from the body and the thing. And the guy goes on ticking over very nicely on his somatic mind. What's the somatic mind do? It just keeps the heart going and the blood pumping and the endocrine system functioning and so forth. It's a very neat, handy little gimmick. Has nothing to do with stimulus response. It might have been planned and conceived to overcome certain situations in the environment, but it is not itself a stimulus response mechanism. Then there's the thing called the body. And that's the other part. So we really have five parts to man these days. There's this thing called a body, and it's built up according to certain plans and genetic lines, and it reproduces itself in certain ways. It's a handy gimmick to have around. And then there is another part to man, number six, which Freud called his alter ego, which is to say his other immediate possessions that he himself uses as terminals. If he makes his wife talk for him, he's using his wife's body as one of his terminals. You get the idea? She is not a terminal for his communication. She is a terminal for his communication to other people. So we get these alter terminals, you could call them, and you would have this additional sixth part. And we just about have it as far as the communication factors involved are. The important one is the thetan. That is the one that the guy is. The body is not important. Repairing the body is this. So what? Repairing the somatic mind is not possible. The somatic mind is out of repair only to that degree that it's being leaned on by the reactive mind. You can take out the whole reactive mind simply by asking somebody, tell me what you wouldn't mind not knowing about that picture. And the whole thing will blow. All right. Now we get to the very important thing. The very important thing is remedy of havingness, the exact steps, remedy of havingness, and exteriorization drills, the exact steps performed in Level 6 of SLP, Issue 5. And here we discover that there are certain definite positive things that you should get a Thetan to do after he is exteriorized. And the first and foremost one of these is to mock up mass so that he can as-is it. You see? He mocks up mass. He has to sort of tell himself that he is there. Now, he has to have enough confidence in his ability to mock up mass so that he doesn't get upset about the subject. So we get the whole thing about remedy of havingness. Please get this. Remedy of havingness is not giving the Thetan enough mass. That is not its definition. Remedy of havingness is the remedy of the necessity to have. When you understand that, you will understand a great deal. The individual does not have to have all these things unless he believes he cannot have them. See, he has some feeling that he can't have babies, so he keeps mock-ups of babies. When he feels that he can have babies, he'll be able to have a mock-up of a baby or throw it away. He won't have any mock-up of babies. Get the idea? When he feels he can have a terminal, then he won't be obsessively mocking up terminals. He'll mock them up or throw them away. Anything, any mass or energy manifestation there is can be too scarce. And when it gets too scarce, it's simply that the individual has decided that he can or cannot have it. He's decided he can't have it if it's too scarce. There's something wrong with his having it, something wrong with this item, and therefore it gets scarce. An individual who is in constant pain has pain so scarce that he cannot then create more pain. The pain's too scarce, so he has it, being expressed right there. He cannot have a body, so bodies can be damaged. It sounds very odd, you see. He cannot have a body, so he is damaging the body out of existence. Now, in the remedy of havingness, we simply operate this way. And by the way, remedy of havingness can be run on almost anybody. SLP, Issue 5, has the strange characteristic that almost any step, except Step 6, can be run on anybody at any case level. It's one of these oddities. You can do this with practically anybody that you can get into communication at all. You can do the bulk of these steps. But this exteriorization step requires an exteriorization, doesn't it? So we use the remedy of havingness to exteriorize our boy if he hasn't exteriorized yet. We have him mock up something and shove it into his body. And this would be about the smoothest way to exteriorize anybody. If we'd done all the other steps and we'd done them pretty well and he wasn't out of his head yet, he would be certainly in a condition that he would exteriorize if you did this step. This, by the way, will get almost anybody out, regardless of whether you processed him or not. But you have him mock up a mass. By the way, don't ever get so frantic to sell anybody Scientology that you run a process on to prove to them that Scientology works. If you've got to give them some reality on Scientology, talk about Dianetics. It's a great temptation for you to take a step like this, remedy of havingness, exteriorization by, you see. And simply the fellow says, well, there's no such thing as exteriorization. What are you talking about? This is a lot for the birds. And you say, well, mock up a mass and push it in, mock up a mass and push it in, and shove him on outside of his body just to prove it to him. Boy, you made him lose gorgeously. Have you set yourself up a pre-clear for some auditor or yourself? So you made him wrong on the very thing he should be right on. So I just skip it and say, well, I don't know. I'm not demanding that you prove the chemical industry a solvent. So I don't know why you should prove to me. I'm a professional man, too. Scientology works. He'll say, well, tell me more. This is a certain way to exteriorize, see. Don't stunt with it. Run it at its proper place. And it just will be always functional, always serve you very neat. And you just have the individual mock up any kind of a mass that he can mock up and have him shove it into his body. Now, get the difference. We could say, all right, now, what can you mock up? And the fellow says, well, I can mock up a very faint image of a cat. And you say, that's fine. Mock up a very faint image of a cat and shove it into your body. You could also say, pull it into your body, couldn't you? But you don't tell him that. You say, shove it into your body. And after he has mocked up anything and everything and shoved them into his body, one after the other, particularly heavy masses, aside from the fact that the phenomenon called an avalanche, sudden pouring in of everything, just have him add to that, by the way, until it slows down and then have him start it himself and stop it. You have him shove things into his body, and he has to be outside in order to shove things into his body. Do you understand that? And he goes. He goes on outside, just like that. So if we were to use anything here in root 1 differently, the first thing we would use differently would be 3 feet back of your head. It tells you that in the creation of human ability, it is still workable, but actually 3 feet is a bit too close. One thing wrong with it. But more importantly, remedy of having this doesn't need her job. See? It doesn't much need her job. Have him walk up something and shove it into the body. We don't care from what angle. And eventually he'll be outside shoving things into his body. And as he keeps on walking things up and shoving them into his body, his certainty will increase. Now, the remedy of having this is to mock up things and shove them in, and mock up things and throw them away, and mock them up and shove them in, and mock them up and throw them away. And that's about the way you do it. Now, there's many, many neat ways to do this. And the one thing you must remember is he must have enough of anything before he can throw it away. If you have him mock up one bar of soap and shove it into his body, and then have him mock up one bar of soap and throw it away, he won't do it. Why? He hasn't got enough bars of soap. It's mass. So you have him mock up a bar of soap and mock up a bar of soap, 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 mock up a bar of soap. You say, all right, now shove the first one you mocked up into the body. Good? Now shove the last one you mocked up away from you. And it might go 4 or 5 feet. If you had him add 6 or 8 more bars of soap to this line, it would go 10 or 15 feet. If you had him mock up 8 or 9 more cases of soap, you'd probably have this one he's trying to throw away go clear out 150 feet from him and stick there. Now have him mock up 8 more train loads of soap, and you can have him pitch that thing out almost to the horizon. And 20 more train loads of soap, and he can throw it away. There's another way to do it, is have him throw away a speck of the color off of its wrapper. All right, and he'll eventually dispose of it. Actually, a complete remedy of having this would be a complete remedy of the necessity to have anything, because one could create it to his own satisfaction. And that would be a complete remedy of having this. All right, now on this matter of shoving things into the body, you would only let him shove things into the body so long before you'd throw one away. Even on this process of exteriorization, they can throw one away. Got the idea? You won't get him to throw one away until you've remedied enough push in. See? Now, an auditor could hang a pre-clear up on this. He could just shove in things into the body, have him shove in things into the body, have him shove in things into the body, and shove things into the body, and shove things into the body, and then say, all right, now mock up one. Good, now throw it away. And the fellow couldn't get rid of it. And the auditor would say, well, mock up another one and shove it into the body, and mock up another one and say, oh, well, hell, he can't throw anything away anyhow. See? But he stopped at the halfway point. All right. So much for R1, step 4. So much for R1, step 4. You know, there is no steps 1, 2, and 3 in root 1. These are starting steps. And R1, step 4 is best done not with 3 feet back of your head, as it says in the creation of human ability, but by remedying having this and having the pre-clear shove the items in. All right, so that would bring us at once to R1-2. Pretty soon the pre-clear would say, you know I'm outside. Well, for heaven's sake, let him recognize it. Don't tell him. Don't ask him. After you've done this for a while, he tells you, you know I'm outside. If he didn't recognize this, his power to know is too low to control anything. So he hasn't done a clean exteriorization. And besides, you're running this after you've run all the other 6 processes anyhow. And if this was totally unsuccessful, you'd just go back and run some more decisional processing or something of the sort. Or you'd remedy having this if you wanted to slug it out until the guy finally could do something. You have 2 choices there. The easiest one is to go back and fish him out with decisional processing. But then it means you must have done this by the time you got to level 6 anyhow. So he'll come out. All right. He tells us he's out. We say, fine. We say, what are you looking at? That's the first thing we ask him. We say, what are you looking at? It's quite important, this step. Quite important to be done right. What are you looking at, you say? Well, the fellow says, I'm looking at my body. And do you say at that moment, copy it, copy it, copy it, copy it? No. That'd be wrong. He's already got a scarcity of bodies. He's stuck in one, isn't he? So if you have him start copying the body, you'll set up energy flows in his vicinities who sweep him on back into his head, usually. If you call a preclear's attention to his body while exteriorized, this is a little law. If you call a preclear's attention to his body while exteriorized, he will generally foul up. So you say, what are you looking at? And this is where this comes a cropper. He is sometimes happily, say, the door, the window, the wall, say anything like that. At which moment you go into your dance, and your dance is just as given here in R1, 5. Root 1, step 5. And that's whatever he's looking at, and copy it one at a time. You say, okay, he said, I'm looking at the door. You say, well, all right, copy it. Well, this is okay. And you say, all right, copy it again. Okay, copy it. All right, now shove one of those copies into the body, or shove one of those copies into you, or pull one in on you. Doesn't matter what you tell him, as long as you have him dispose of one of them or handle one of them. You get the idea? All right. Now, take one of them, and how far can you throw it? Don't tell him to throw it away. How far can you throw it? No, he says, several feet. So you say, well, all right, he's still looking at the door there. Well, copy it. Now, throw one into yourself. Good. Throw one away. This one went. That's fine. All right. You say, what do you want to do with the rest of them? Well, I don't know. Leave them there. All right. Now what are you looking at? Oh, he said, I'm looking at the body. What do you do? Say, copy the body? No, you don't. That's a blunder. You say, well, do you see the chair? He said, I see the body. You say, do you see the chair? Yes. You say, well, copy the chair. Copy it. Get the idea? Throw one away. Pull one into yourself. Whatever you want to do with them. As long as we handle a couple of them, you know. Now, what do you want to do with the rest of them? We don't care what he does with them. He'll generally ball them up and eat them up or do something with them. We give him power of choice over what he does with these things. Now, there's another slight warning there, is don't have him make too many copies when he first starts out. Got that? Don't have him make 200 copies. Don't say copy, and go on for the next 10 minutes. He just won't be able to do it because he can't keep his attention on that many copies. Have him do 4, 5, 6, and then stretch it. Do something with him and then copy some more, something like that. But don't have him in a continual copy line. You'll eventually get him so he could hold in place 200 copies, but that isn't what you're going to do with him at first. Don't give him any loses. He loses easily when he's first out of his head. All right. They got that step? Now we take R1-6. And here is a great oddity. We have this individual hold the two upper anchor points of the room at least 2 minutes by the clock. And not think. Remember, that's the important thing. Have him hold on to those two anchor points and not think. If he thinks, what's going to happen to the masses around him? Suppose he's still in connection with masses. You just remedied his having this. Now, if he thinks, it's going to go, isn't it? He's going to move some mass. This is going to upset him, going to make him feel trapped and so forth. So you just tell him, all right, now those two upper corners of the room behind the body, why don't you hold on to those two and just wherever you are there, hold on to them and don't think. Fellow says, all right. He does for a couple of minutes. And he says, you know, there's some stability to the place. You know, things stop wobbling. Things stop wobbling. Well, that's real good. You say, that's fine. And now you have the preclear let go and find many places where he's not. So you say, how you doing? You say, oh, he said, I'm doing all right now. You say, well, that's fine. Now, can you find some places where you're not? And this is where we get into spotting spots. This is spotting spots, you see. He already spotted the two upper anchor points of the room. Now I have him spot some more spots. Well, he said, I'm not here and I'm not there and I'm not someplace else. And I'm not someplace else. He's localizing himself, isn't he? And he gets himself localized, and we could simply go back to the copying operation and holding the two corners of the room and telling us places where he's not, and the copying operation and the two corners of the room and spotting places where he's not, and the copying operation and the two corners of the room and the place where he's not. And boy, this fellow's just getting finer than silk all the way along the line. Those are the three most important steps of that route. They are the three most important steps of that route. If you wanted to drill somebody while he was exteriorized, you'd just do those things over and over and over until, boy, was he sharp. He could throw things away, he could push them into himself, he could throw them at the body, he could mop things up, so forth. But supposing your preclear were in this odd state. He wasn't looking at the room at all, which is the state most preclears are in. And supposing after we had done this many, many times, the fellow was still looking at pictures. We take care that he's never invalidated. But supposing he had the room of his hospital and the ceiling of the place where he was born and a stove that didn't belong there and the ashtrays and chairs all out of position, what's the matter with him? He's looking at pictures which are being taken of things in the room, and they're being taken with errors. They're machinery, aren't they? Well, would you handle this machinery? This is a truism. Machinery only goes into action and gives trouble when havingness is wanting. Only in the scarcity of havingness does machinery go into action. Only in a scarcity of communication does this machinery go into action, because it's sort of furnishing communication. So the best way to get machinery out of action is to remedy havingness all over again. Got it? Machinery starts into action, starts presenting him with lots of facsimiles. We say, there is a scarcity here, scarcity of havingness. So therefore, we'll have him copy things and mock up terminals and mock up rooms and so forth, and have him push him in on himself. While he's exteriorized, you can have him push him in on himself, by the way. It's quite an oddity. You know, he's at this spot, and then you have him mock up something and push it in on himself. He merely pushes to the spot where he was, you see. And we have him remedies havingness with masses and suns and all kinds of things and universes, and throw them away and mock them up. And he'll get over this idea of machine environment after a while. When machine, Thetan machinery, and anything you know about it goes into action, it is simply because havingness is wanting. All right. So supposing, however, we wanted a shorter way to do it. And that would still include a complete remedy of havingness for the guy as a Thetan exteriorized, pulling things in upon himself or pushing them in upon himself, not his body, you see. And throwing them away, almost anything you could think of. See, that would still require that. That would run this down. And then if you were to ask him, what are you doing? And he'd say, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at the room. You say, well, that's fine. How are you doing? Well, I'm sitting here, you know, looking at the room. That's fine. And just all I'm doing, just looking at the room. You say, that's fine. What are you doing? Well, I'm just sitting here looking at the room. You say, well, that's swell. What are you doing? And he said, well, I'm just... you know, there's something wrong with these pictures that I got. I'm looking through the pictures and starting to see the wall. It's a covert way of bringing him up to present time as a Thetan thing. He's parked in various parts of the time track. He hasn't got his time coordinated at all. When you ask him what he's doing, you introduce the factor of time, and he's liable to look around and have a clear view of the scenery just as it is for the first time. It isn't necessary that a Thetan go on looking at facsimiles. An individual can be exteriorized and not be able to see anything but facsimiles. He can be exteriorized and see nothing but blackness. He can be exteriorized and see the room clearly just as he sees it with his messed eyes. There are lots of drills of this character, but they would mostly ask the individual to come up to present time. You get the idea? By the way, you could take him and run opening procedure of 8C. You know, do you see that wall? Well, sail over to it and put a beam on it. All right. R18 is the darndest thing to run, since it's a very, very long step, but it's a very beneficial step. It's another way of running while exteriorized. What wouldn't you mind communicating with? You could substitute for R18 just a complete repeat all over again of your fifth level while exteriorized, you see, the communication remedy of communication. But you ask him what it's safe to look at, and he finds more darn things. Well, any time you have anybody exteriorized, you every once in a while remedies havingness. Just make that a little rule. Every once in a while remedies havingness. Don't let him go too long. Now, that's very explicit as to how you do that, and R19, a grand tour, is just done exactly as given in the creation of human ability. It's the darndest thing. If you wanted to improve it, If you wanted to improve it, you'd have him throw hellos and okays to these spots all over the universe. Have him throw showers of hellos at them and have them throw showers of okays back. Then have that spot throw a shower of hellos at him and he throw a shower of okays at it. Got the idea? You get a shower of hellos to it, shower of okays back. Shower of hellos from it to him and a shower of okays from him back. Got the idea? Mm-hmm. You just do that a couple of times and bzzz, any existing facsimile that is still standing there or any difficulty that he ever had with that environment will disappear. Do that a few times while you're running Grand Tour, and you will find that it really accelerates a Grand Tour with speed. But remember that if you do this, remedy is havingness, because he's made a hole, hasn't he? And he's liable to have gotten into a vacuum sort of a situation where he'll pull more facsimiles in on him, and he will run down. He will start moving swiftly, see? Actually, it's easier to have him run a Grand Tour with hellos and okays than be here, be there, be here, be there. It's almost a substitute, but you can do both. And boy, he'll tell you he's starting to feel finer himself, first thing. If you remember the remedies, having this fellow's out there without a terminal, remember. If you always think of an exteriorized person as a poor guy walking around without much of a terminal, you remember the remedies, having this. All right. R110... is out. Don't do it. The reason why is it can be interpreted in two different, many ways. There's a better one. There's a better one than R110. Simply do a level two step. Ask him what he's separate from and what's separate from him. Got it? Just run it the opposite way. Ask him what he's separate from. R110 is pre-clear discover the things he wouldn't mind occupying the same space with him. Just omit it. It's not bad. It's not hard to do. You just get further. You get the same result if you ask the individual to run the separateness step of the level two while exteriorized. It's a better process. So just put it in as part of an exteriorized drill. Spot some objects you're separate from, that's all. Simple as that. Spot some people you're separate from. And then after that, spot some objects that are separate from you and people you're separate from. Just those various steps. Of course, you run them just as you would, even more carefully than you would run them on a pre-clear in a body while you run them on a thetan exteriorized. Who remembers a poor guy walking around with no terminal? He probably feels you'll occupy his body before he gets back half the time. Well, maybe one of the main reasons he snaps back into his body is because you look covetously at it. Now, R111, have pre-clear be problems and solutions in having this. Perfectly all right. Very good. R112, have pre-clear mark up generators, power plants, and suns to give him energy on that gradient scale until he is totally convinced he does not have to receive energy from an outside source. It's a complete remedy of havingness of energy. It's like spotting energy of sources on an earlier one. What we've actually done in the six levels of processing, you find out what a thetan can do, you see, and then we found out what a thetan in a body can do and what made him come up scale fastest. Now, R113 is something you don't have to bother with. It's have pre-clear adjust genetic entity anchor points. You don't have to bother with it. But if you do bother with it, remember, it's mainly a remedy of havingness of anchor points, marking them up and throwing them away. He will learn some interestingly fantastic things about bodies if you run it. But tell me something you could not know about bodies will also disclose the whole thing to his view. Easier way to do it. All right, R114... have pre-clear create and destroy various kinds of thetan machines. That's out. Skip it. You'll find out all about machinery. If he's having trouble with machinery, remedy is havingness. It's something that furnishes him with havingness. That's what a machine is, basically. Or it takes havingness away from him. So what? So you remedy havingness, you square up the machine. R115 is repair pre-clear's ability to communicate by having copy many scenes in the physical universe. It's the same thing, same step as the R15, but it's on a much wider basis. Have him look at the sun and copy, copy, copy. Have him look at the solar system, copy, copy, copy. Look at the galaxy, copy, copy, copy. Look at the universe, copy, copy, copy. You get the idea? All of a sudden he'll say, universe? Now, that is the entirety of those steps, just as I've given them to you, which you actually could run as part of this drill. You could do something else. You could simply turn right around and, while he's exteriorized, run the first five levels of the six levels of processing. While he's exteriorized. See, I mean, you could just turn right around and run it the other way. While he's exteriorized. If he came out of his head, you could run them all just as they were. See? But the normal thing to do is he blows out of his head on a process, you acknowledge it, you get him to complete the process, and you simply go on to the next process. It's a normal thing to do. When you finally get up to level six, give him these drills. One of the things, he's very happy to run them anyhow. He thinks it's a lot of fun. He didn't think he could do anything as a Thetan. You convinced him he has mobility and a lot of things. One of the things that I would do today would be to have him mock up terminals and mock up terminals and mock up terminals until he had them that he felt were real solid. So he was doing a tremendous job on this. And then he would not get so anxious about having to have having us every time he turns around. Actually, running an exteriorized person today requires just as much skill, ability, kindness, and ARC as it did yesterday. We can do it a little bit better because he's in better shape. Somebody exteriorizes, he'll stay exteriorized if you've done your job well on all six levels. Thank you.